Welcome to Ready for Change, the podcast dedicated to preparing and equipping you with the tools needed for changes within your industry. I'm your host, Mike Jarmus, and on this podcast, we'll be featuring special guests who are experts in business, retail, and finance. They will share their stories, wisdoms, and insights on changes occurring within their own industries. We'll cover other topics like market trends, technology, news, and innovation in various industries. Thanks for tuning in this week. Now let's get started. Technology is changing the way every industry does business, including the retail industry. In fact, it'll be one of the largest factors that will impact the industry in 2020 and beyond. The global retail sector technology spending grew by 3.6% to reach almost $204 billion in 2019 alone. Some examples of leading technology trends that will transform shopping in 2020 include predictive analytics like big data, extended reality, facial recognition, order fulfillment automation, stock management, and the list includes many others. Based on the information I just provided, it might be easy to anticipate that this month's episode is all about tech and retail, specifically technologies that are going to impact and change the shopping experience in the future. To discuss the future of tech and retail on today's episode, we have Vadim Rogovsky, the CEO and co-founder of 3D Look. 3D Look is a mobile body scanning technology that will change the way how billions of people solve their everyday routine tasks and will impact the retail industry in the future. In addition to helping start 3D Look, Vadim has founded several other tech companies, is a Forbes.com contributor, and was even named a member of the Forbes 30 Under 30 in Ukraine. I hope that introduction did you justice, Vadim, but thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Mike. I'm happy to join the podcast.
So, Vadim, I don't believe I best describe 3D Look to the best of my abilities, but would you please start by telling our listeners more about the company and how you are changing the retail industry?
Yes, sure. At 3D Look, we developed, first of all, the unique technology that works on any smartphone and needs just two photos of the person, like front and side photo of your body, to be able to measure, to get all your accurate body measurements instantly with an accuracy better than a professional tailor can do it. And then to use these measurements to provide you with the right size of clothing that you are looking for. And moreover, we have built a body data platform on top of this technology. And the main goal of this platform is to help retailers and fashion brands to understand how their consumers in different locations actually look. So what are their body shapes and what are the typical body shapes, let's say, in particular states or particular countries to plan their apparel design, production, and distribution better to reduce returns and actually to avoid overproduction and to reduce the pollution of the environment. And the mission of the company is to digitize the bodies of the online consumers in the world. So basically to have the biggest database of, let's say, the human body profiles, so we can build very important analytics and insights on top of this data for retailers and fashion brands.
Sounds like a very interesting company and on the cutting edge of technology in the retail space. So Vadim, was there any inspiration that spurred you and your colleagues, Alex Arapov and Ivan Makiev, to start the company in the first place?
Yes. So, I mean, I was involved in mobile advertising. I had like two companies doing user acquisition, monetization, and I've sold one of them in 2014 before I started 3D Look. And I was really excited about the idea of creating some cutting edge technology on the intersection of mobile devices and computer vision. So basically to solve some huge problem of hundreds of millions of people using actually smartphone camera, because I believe that camera will change a lot of industries. And it means, and we already see the impact of smartphone camera on Snapchat or Instagram with all these face filters, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we actually, I mean, so I was excited about the technological potential of this idea to create the technology that can allow anyone who has a smartphone with any camera to actually accurately measure himself in order to to always like always to buy apparel that fits without having to return it, and also like to create like a digital passport using this data. So then you can use the digital passport not only to buy apparel that fits you, but also like to you can send this data to your doctor or to your fitness coach, or you can even have an avatar, build your own avatar in an online game. So that's like, that was this idea of digital passport was actually behind 3DLook when we decided that we really want to start the company.
Sounds like a very interesting origin story to 3DLook. So from my research, it looks like 3DLook has several innovative solutions. Can you briefly tell us about each one, what industries they could be applied in, and specifically how they can be utilized to disrupt the retail industry in the future?
Yes, I mean, we have like one core product, which is our bug data platform that I mentioned earlier, and we have like three solutions there. So basically, the three solutions, I mean, three B2B solutions that we offer to apparel retail industries. So first of all, we have like size recommendation solution. So it's a widget, actually like a component that is easily implemented right inside the customer journey on any website that sells clothing. And then when a consumer just gets there, she sees the button Get My Fit, where there is usually some size charts or like, yeah, some size related information. So she has this just to tap on this button from her smartphone, upload two pictures of herself, or just make these two pictures using a mirror or asking someone to help. And then she instantly gets her right size, like in 20 seconds, and it will fit her perfectly. And on the other hand, the retailer gets her body shape, body data information that the retailer can use then to provide her with more precise recommendations. So the first solution is called Perfect Fit. So it's a size recommendation. The second solution is created for made-to-measure and bespoke companies that create apparel just, like individually for every consumer. So they, after implementing our solutions, they can actually take orders from consumers around the world without having to send a personal tailor to them to measure their bodies manually. So we help them to scale their business a lot. And the third solution is virtual try-on. We also allow consumers to upload two photos to see the 3D model of their body, and then to see how different garments will look on it and how they will fit it. So it's also like a visual aspect that allows you to see how the garment you like will fit on you, so you don't have to go into the store, into the physical store, and to try it on.
Sounds like three very interesting and innovative solutions. I particularly would be interested in the customization of my clothing and allowing for tailored fitted clothes, and seems like a solution that I wish my retailers would utilize in the future. Moving on to my next question, I know you're recently at NRF in New York. What were some of the emerging technologies you saw that you believe will impact the retail industry in the future, and which ones really piqued your interest?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of interesting companies there. So, I mean, obviously, I was watching some particular segments that, I mean, are the most interesting for me in terms of my business. But first of all, I see how different 3D garment visualization companies are evolving. So, I mean, apparel design is moving into 3D very rapidly. So now apparel designers, I mean, are more and more often they create garments not in 2D like it was like for 100 years before, but they do it in 3D and actually designing the garments using the 3D models of their actually prospective customers. And here 3DLook actually can help them because we can provide them with average bodies of their consumers in different locations. So also, I mean, all the companies that help brick-and-mortar retailers and not to go out of the business and actually to optimize their processes and to stay competitive, all these companies are thriving now, all these startups, and also omnichannel startups as well that help to connect offline and online experiences. I mean, they also are, I mean, it's also a very good time for them because brick-and-mortar retailers are mostly suffering now, and they're trying to do what they can to reach their offline and online consumers in order to provide them with a more, I would say, convenient, with the best customer experience, and to increase the average check. So these are the main categories that, as I see, are really growing very fast, and we're actively present at NRF.
That response leads nicely, actually, to my next question. So what is your view slash opinion about how technology will redefine the way we create and deliver customer experience in retail?
I already mentioned omnichannel. So basically, I think that omnichannel is a very important term now. It's getting more and more important because omnichannel actually merges online and offline experience. So basically, it helps brick-and-mortar retailers to recognize their consumers as they enter the store, so to recognize by using some data that they already have about these consumers and understand that these consumers have already been shopping online on these retailers and what they prefer and what they buy. And the question is, still there is a question, what is the best way to identify consumers who actually walk into the store? Some companies are playing with face recognition. Some companies are trying different stuff, but still, I mean, it's still in the process. I mean, there is no like industry standard yet. But as soon as there will be some kind of like unified standard of actually identifying consumers who walk into the store, and then so like to track all their activity inside the physical store, and then to use this activity, all these data points, to recommend them actually the stuff to buy when they go home and shop from their smartphone, it's actually the holy grail that will remove the difference between physical and online retail. And physical retail will finally become not the place to buy, but the place to feel, the place to, I mean, yes, the place to feel, to have some experience, and then just to go home and to shop from your smartphone or laptop.
Okay. So, Vadim, on a lot of our shows, I like to ask guests to make some predictions for the future, where they see things are going. So, looking forward over the next 10 years, what do you believe will be some of the most impactful, innovative technologies that will shape the future of retail, both for e-commerce and for brick and mortar?
First of all, thanks to 5G finally coming, I see that virtual try-on applications, they will become more feasible, because now we see that it's really slow. I mean, it's just because of not so fast mobile internet in many countries. It's very hard to allow actually people to try different garments on their 3D models in 3D or in augmented reality. With the help of 5G, everyone will easily be able to use it to play the 3D model of your body right at home, and then to try different garments, just and seeing them in AR. And then we also will just use, also we'll be able just to stand in front of the mirror and try different like full body filters, like with the garment right on top of our body, the same as we do on Snapchat with our face. I think it's also coming. It's just a matter of technology and the right time, and the consumers should be ready. Also, of course, I mean, we are uploading so much data about ourselves on social media, and all this data, for example, photos, will be analyzed, and all this data will be used to provide us with size recommendations of different styles of apparel or accessorize, et cetera, that we need to buy, including even the right size. Because based on the thousands of photos that we keep on Instagram, for example, it's really, it's really doable to determine the right size of that we need to buy. And 3D Look is also like looking in this direction as well. And also, yeah, of course, I already mentioned omnichannel. So the difference between online and offline will finally be removed. We'll go to offline stores just to have some experience. And yeah, I mean, and also in intelligence. So tech startups will learn how to collect more and more and more data points about our activities offline and online, and then trying to combine them into one profile, which is really complex, really challenging task. And then this data will have the recommendations that we've never had before in terms of precision and relevance.
I agree with all those things. And I know data is specifically going to be very key for the retail industry for the future. I mean, there's so much data available out there already that we put through social media, but also what we do input, even from loyalty programs or even uploading pictures and so on. So I think data is one of those key things. I do agree with you that is going to impact the retail industry moving forward into the future. So what is your view on the balance between digital and physical presence for a successful brand or retailer?
That's an interesting question. So now I see that, a very exciting trend is happening, that brick and mortar retailers are trying to go online and trying to redefine their usual retail locations and to make them like more experiential, like Nordstrom, for example, like Macy's. But on the other hand, digitally native retailers like Revolve, like Stitch Fix, for example, they are actually planning or even already opening offline outlets and or some kind of pop-up stores to interact with their audiences offline in order to create these relationships. So, I think that there should be no difference. And I think the omnichannel is the right word, so that the retailer of the future has to be everywhere to be with its customer on every part of the consumer journey, offline, online, in VR, or wherever. But it's important to be everywhere and to have all these touch points in order not only to convert the customer, but also to be, indispensable and to build the proper long-term relationship in order to get the ultimate lifetime value.
Vadim, I'm going to shift gears slightly and focus a little bit more on you and your experiences now for my final couple questions. So looking back, what were some of the challenges you faced building your startups? And did you ever consider giving up?
Yeah, that's not my first company. So when I started it, I already knew that it's really hard and one of the hardest things I've ever done. So that's why I think I've never considered giving up just because of that, because I already knew what is it about. But the challenges, obviously, it's first of all, the hardest challenge is actually building the core team of self-driven autonomous people that don't need micromanagement to go ahead, and also to avoid all hidden conflicts, all pitfalls in the very beginning, and to build the right culture around this team, because it backfires. I think it's the number one reason why startups fail. It's not because of money, it's because of conflicts inside the team that lead to running out of money. So, and that's why I think team is number one priority. Then I would say the ability to say no to your ideas, because when you are doing a startup, you want to try everything, you want to experiment, but you have limited resources, and moreover, you have a time frame, you have an opportunity window that you actually have not to miss. And that's why you need to say no, and it's sometimes very hard. Then as the company evolves fast, sometimes you need to let some people go, even if you like them very much, but some people are the perfect fit for one stage, but not a good fit for next stage, and sometimes it's really painful, but the companies that are not capable of doing that, they can suffer, because when people are in their comfort zone, that when they can't, at some stages, when they already cannot bring more value, it can kill the startup in the future. So it's also very important.
Okay. So I have another question I do like to ask guests. Were there any companies or leaders you looked to as a source of inspiration that you utilized before you started 3D Look or any of your other businesses?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I've always enjoyed reading some autobiography books or watching movies. I have enough inspiration internally, but yeah, it's always interesting. It's always exciting to see how successful people did it. If I want to recall some of the books I've read recently about the people I really admire, one of them is Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, who created Zappos, that was then sold to Amazon. The book really, it's actually written around his journey, which was really hard but really exciting, but also about the critical importance of customer experience and creating the right culture to support the highest level customer experience, to build meaningful relationships with the customers and not only thinking short term. And another book that I can recall now is Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, who created Nike. And it was really interesting for me also because we are now actively talking to Nike people. I mean, we see a lot of opportunities there. So we visited their office recently. So, I mean, I was really very excited to read the book and to feel the culture of this, I think, the greatest apparel company in the world. These are the examples that, I mean, recently inspired me a lot.
Yep, those are two great books. So my final question for you today before I wrap everything up is, do you have any recommendations or advice for an entrepreneur trying to start or create their own new tech startup? You've got a history of doing it and you've been successful in several of your businesses. And what advice or recommendations do you have for those individuals?
Yeah, that's a great question because really often I get some questions from entrepreneurs or people who want to start something, like asking me to share my experience. First of all, I would say that number one advice would be not to try to come up with an ideal, with a perfect idea, because I know a lot of people that fall into this trap that, like, for years they think that all the ideas are bad, that they need some killer idea, et cetera, et cetera. And then, like, years pass and they end up with nothing. They miss all their shots. They don't even take them. So, I mean, there is no ideal idea. Everywhere where we can have a look, you can change something just a bit and improve some experience. You can improve something and you can build a company on top of that. The question is not about the perfect idea. The question is about what idea do I like? What idea can I have and put all my resources, all my time, everything for several years, maybe even more, to fight for the success? So that's maybe the right question. Of course, this idea should pass some obvious checks, like there should be a market around that. I mean, there should be the right timing. So of course, but still, the question is mostly about if you really love this thing and you can do it for quite a long time. Also, of course, to create a well-balanced team, because some people do a mistake, they just go and do the business with their friends, which is the closest people they can get. Without even thinking there is an overlap, they might have a very similar experience. They might do similar things well, but they might not have a knowledge in other things. But it's just the easy way for them to build the team. And I've seen a lot of failures because of that in my network. So to build really like a well-balanced team since the very beginning. And also maybe the third one is to try some experiments before maybe quitting your job first, or like going all in since the very beginning, just to experiment, to put some time there. And if you just see that it might work, then you can go all in. But first of all, to test the waters, to understand that your initial assumptions work well. And maybe the last one, it's always like entrepreneurial way, it's always about self-learning, self-development. So always like to hear to other people, to read books, to go to the conferences, to take all the time to learn. I mean, that's maybe the last and one of the most important recommendations I can give.
Vadim, those are some fantastic recommendations and I really do appreciate it. And I know our listeners do too. So thank you again for being on today's podcast. Hopefully it's a pleasure for you. And I know your time is valuable and we really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Today's exciting episode was just a glimpse into the innovative technologies that are being utilized to transform the retail industry. Most of these technologies, like the ones 3D Look offers, are meant to enhance the customer experience while also improving efficiencies for businesses. In fact, I believe many of these technologies will completely redefine the shopping experience, both online and in-store for customers. While the episode highlighted a lot of major technology trends that are impacting the retail sector, three things stood out to me in my discussion with Vadim. The first being the origin story of 3D Look. The idea for their technology was not created initially to serve the retail industry. Rather, it was derived from the idea of digital passport. This is where a user can use mobile imaging for a variety of reasons not specific to shopping. This also shows that an innovative idea or technology can be created to serve one industry or need, yet there should also be time spent thinking of how it can help other industries address ulterior problems and needs. My next takeaway would be of what I learned about the challenges that Vadim encountered when creating his startups and the recommendations he had for those starting their own. He stated the most important thing for a startup is to build a strong core team that has the skills to better the company. Building a strong culture around that team is crucial, and if this is not done well, it will create a ripple effect of more problems and is far more likely the business will fail. Finally, the most poignant thing that Vadim said was when you are thinking about a new innovative idea for a business, that it does not have to be perfect. Many people spend far too much time thinking about and perfecting an idea, but by the time that it's fully perfected, the opportunity has already passed. So for all you thought leaders, innovators, and disruptors listening today, I'll leave you with this. If you have a great idea for a new business, or even an idea to better your business that you are already working at today, do not wait to perfect it. Instead, build a strong team around you to help you launch this idea as soon as possible. Your team that you built can help you perfect the idea later before the opportunity passes. Thank you for listening to Ready for Change. If you like what you heard, please leave us a positive review and share this episode with a colleague or friend. And be sure to subscribe to Ready for Change on www.glory-global.com/ready-for-change, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts and other major podcast channels in order for you to never miss an upcoming episode. If you have any additional questions or suggestions, be sure to email us at readyforchange@glory-global.com. Until next time, prepare for change.